Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on evolving situation in West Asia and its global impact. The participants are D.P. Srivastav, former ambassador, and Vaibhav J. Srivastav, anchor.
The situation in West Asia has been evolving rapidly. Some would say that it's not evolving, rather spiraling down with every passing day. India is watching the situation with a close eye because it involves Indian interests. India is a stakeholder not just with Israel and Iran, but also with the talks of the closing of Strait of Hormuz. It is exceedingly important for India's economy too. Now, we need to understand what the situation is and how it is evolving and in which direction. For this very important discussion, we have with us former Ambassador D.P. Srivastav. Ambassador Srivastav, welcome to the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What is the current situation in West Asia and where do you see it heading towards?
The West Asia situation took a turn for the worse with American attack on Iranian nuclear installations, as you know, on 22nd early morning. Iran has said that it will defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity. It has the right of self-defense. The American expectation that the strike will bring Iran to the negotiating table on its terms is misplaced. Iranians are a proud people, and as the statements since then have shown, they are not buckling down. Iran has stepped up attack on Israel. Supreme Leader has appointed a council of three jurists to take over from him in case of need. Iranian parliament yesterday has passed a resolution asking for closure of Hormuz Strait, through which 20% of world's oil supply and roughly 30 to 35% of LNG supplies passes every day. This is not a final decision. This is a recommendation by Iranian parliament, and the final decision has been left to the Supreme Leader. It is hoped that Iran will not take this extreme step. Iran is aware that such a step will also harm its Arab neighbors across the Gulf, and it will not take such a step unless it is forced into a very dire situation. We will have to wait and watch.
Ambassador Srivastav, what does it mean for India and India's economy? We have seen world leaders condemn the attack and also call for a ceasefire. We've also seen the Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who has vowed that punishment against Israel will continue, who has made his first statement since the US joined the Israeli attacks. What was the reason why the United States joined in, and what does it mean about, what does this say about their intentions for the future of this conflict?
You know, President Trump, in his statement after the strike, described Iran as the world's leading exporter of terrorism. This is not correct. Iran, in fact, after 9/11, had extended cooperation to US in fight against Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Again, in 2014, Iran cooperated with US in the fight against ISIS. World's leading exporter of terrorism is Pakistan, and Pakistan's army chief, who is directly involved and who triggered the unfortunate events of Pahalgam and Operation Sindoor, which followed, has been received by President Trump in the White House, an unprecedented honor, normally only given to heads of state or heads of government. So we have to go beyond the stated reasons for this strike. And I think the only reason is not, and the reason is has to be found in America's domestic politics, which is deeply enmeshed with Israel. And that is what has brought about this step, which is being criticized even within America by Democrats, senior Democratic leaders. As far as its impact on India is concerned, India is not alone. This will have, such a step will have impact on the entire world, especially if Hormuz Strait is closed. That strait accounts for, as I mentioned earlier, 20% of the world oil supply and 30% of LNG exports. If this is stopped, there's no alternate source which can compensate for this loss of supply. 20% of oil supply, currently world's total consumption, oil consumption is about 105 million barrels. So 20% will be roughly 20 million barrels or so on.
Sure.
there is no source which can compensate for this. To some extent, you know, some of the oil supplies can be exported westward through overland pipeline running through Saudi Arabia and UAE, but the capacity of those pipelines is rather limited. So we are looking at a very, very grim situation. Oil is a fungible commodity. It's not simply the closure of the Gulf oil supplies will affect the world oil prices everywhere.
True. And talking about the other countries who are stakeholders in this conflict, I think Pakistan has exposed itself once again. First, it was playing the religion card by being one of the Islamic countries and supporting Iran, but simultaneously it is also supporting the United States, which has attacked Iran. Now, what is Pakistan's situation like? And will the US and other Western countries realize what mistake is being done when they're providing assistance in financial form to Pakistan and its army?
There has to be some explanation for the welcome received by Munir in the White House. Normally, this treatment is reserved only for heads of state and government. Now, what could be the American motive? There was earlier a statement by General Kurila, the head of America's Central Command, which looks after this region, that Pakistan is a valuable partner in fight against terrorism. He gave the example of Pakistan's help in arresting the terrorists involved in killing of 13 U.S. soldiers deployed for evacuation from Kabul airport in August 21. This was a very odd statement to make. U.S. was forced to exit Afghanistan after spending $20 billion in assistance to Pakistan and losing countless lives because of the double game played by Pakistan. It joined the US-led coalition against terror and at the same time proceeded to undermine US position by supporting Taliban. Now, this lesson obviously is lost on General Kurila, but given this fact, the background which I mentioned, Afghanistan or situation in South Asia could not be the reason behind American change in American position and sudden warming to Munir. This has to be looked against the background of situation in West Asia and particularly Israel's attack on Iran starting on 13 June. It is no coincidence that Munir arrived in Washington only a day later on 14 June and had a lunch with President Trump on 18 June. Now, Pakistan is an immediate neighbor of Iran. In case of hostilities with Iran, US will need Pakistani help at a minimum to isolate Iran. It could go beyond that in terms of actually extending assistance to US in terms of intelligence, sharing over flights, and so on. And it may not be wrong or too far-fetched to assume that some of this has already been done. Because you have to go back about a month in the midst of Operation Sindoor, IMF extended a fresh loan of $1.4 billion for Pakistan. This was in addition to release of a tranche of $1 billion out of existing commitment of $7 billion by IMF. Now, IMF is controlled by US. It has a veto. So there must be some quid pro quo for this generosity shown by the US. And this process probably started much before the actual strike by Israel. So in other words, Pakistan, given its desperate economic situation, has lent its services to the US and stabbed Iran in the back. We'll have to see whether this has a domestic repercussion, because at the same time, General Munir has been nursing and Pakistan Army, it's not just a question of one general, has been nursing for decades a jihadi constituency, which has been brought up on the slogan of, you know, fight against Zionist Israel. This is how Pakistan and Munir described Israel in his speech as recently as 16th July, where he talked about two-nation theory also. So this jihadi constituency would not be very happy to see this complete turn around in Pakistani position, and there might be domestic repercussions. But Pakistan Army and Pakistan is used to playing both sides of the street, and it has happily gone on to provide its services to the US. And of course, whatever the payoff, American priorities are in West Asia, but payoff, Pakistan will use it only against India.
Let's hear Prasar Bharati's special correspondent Vinod Kumar's report.
The International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Rafael Grossi convened an emergency meeting of the organization's Board of Governors in Vienna today, demanding the return of agency's inspectors to Iran's nuclear sites to account for the highly enriched uranium stockpiles. Speaking at the emergency session, Grossi revealed that Iran's key nuclear sites at Fordow, Natanz and Isfahan were struck by ground-penetrating munitions and cruise missiles, with damage likely significant even though off-site radiation levels remains unchanged. Let's hear his words.
The weight of this conflict risks collapsing the global nuclear non-proliferation regime. But there is still a path for diplomacy. We must take it. Otherwise, violence and destruction could reach unimaginable levels and the global non-proliferation regime that has underpinned international security for more than half a century could crumble and fall. Iran, Israel, and the Middle East need peace. For that, we must take a number of steps. First of all, we must return to the negotiating table. And for that, allow IAEA inspectors, the guardians on behalf of the NPT, to go back to Iran's nuclear sites and account for the stockpiles of uranium, including, most importantly, 400 kilograms enriched to 60%.
The IAEA chiefs comes as Iranian parliament speaker announced that Iran's legislature is considering legislation to suspend all cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency unless Tehran received tangible guarantees regarding the UN nuclear watchdog's professional conduct. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Dubai.
So talking about Russia and China, China has called on both Iran and Israel to de-escalate hostilities immediately, whereas the Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has arrived in Moscow for high-level talks. What does it mean for the relationship between these two with the EU and America, especially in context with their relation to India? Because India is a stakeholder in both these and has remained non-aligned.
Let me put it slightly differently. Before the eruption of war in the Middle East, President Trump said that he did not want to get an U.S. involved in forever wars of the Middle East. And he was right. He was looking at Chinese threat, which is the most important challenge to American supremacy today. Now, this decision to enter the war on the side of Israel, and incidentally, this is a war of choice. What this change in President Trump's policy means is that there's a real risk of US getting bogged down in Middle East, which will drain its resources and political strength to face the challenge which China poses. And Chinese, of course, must be delighted at this turn of events. They have made statement for de-escalation, which, you know, this is standard mantras which China and many other countries utter. So far as Russia is concerned, Russia is engaged in a very difficult situation in Ukraine, and it may not be in a position to give any direct assistance to Iran, but we'll have to see. There was, for a moment, you know, there was some hope that the Russian and American relations will improve, and President Trump mentioned that the American policies under the previous administration on Ukraine were not correct. And this had raised the hope that this would make it easier for India to have good relations with both our friends. And this will also mean that Russia will not be forced into Chinese arms. But that hope is also gone. A set of parameters linked to the Ukraine war. But the sum total is that if the American power weakens because of a long-drawn war in the Middle East, it will have less capacity to face the Chinese challenge. And this will have implications not only for India, but for all countries along China's borders, ranging from Taiwan to Japan to South Korea to Vietnam to ASEAN countries, and of course, India.
From a humanitarian point of view, we truly hope that the situation improves, and whichever way the conflict goes or emerges, we hope that India and India's economy stay stronger. Ambassador Srivastava, thank you so much for giving us your valuable insights and your precious time.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on evolving situation in West Asia and its global impact. The participants were D.P. Srivastava, former ambassador, and Vaibhav J. Srivastava, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.